preach and proclaim God's Word. I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the text for us today and teach us of Christ. Teach us of what He's done. Jeremiah chapter 2. The name of the message is Hewed and Broken Cisterns. Hewed and Broken Cisterns. Jeremiah chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. And we'll read all the way to 13. And 13 will be where our text is. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. So our text today is found in verse 13. Now we see a fountain mentioned, a fountain of living waters. And we also see mentioned huge cisterns, cisterns made by man's hands, and broken cisterns that hold no water, that hold no water. Now Israel, in our text, had forsaken their God. And we, in our natural state in Adam, we run so far from God, we don't want to have anything to do with Him in our natural state. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. And we do not seek God. And there's not one of us who are righteous by our birth. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. And man, sinful man like myself, before the Lord saved me, but man has hewn out cisterns by their works. They've hewn out cisterns that they think will hold water, but beloved, they're broken cisterns that will hold no water. No water at all. And we have hewn out cisterns by our own hands and by our own imaginations, cisterns which are broken. Now a cistern here There's a place, a cistern is where they pour water into it. The cistern had to be filled. So they would go and get water and they'd pour it in the cistern, and then they would draw out of the cistern as they needed the water. And when they were thirsty, they would go there and draw from there. But a fountain, beloved, a fountain springs from the source. And it's ever spring. It's a fountain. A friend of this church, Jacob, who lives in Colorado, was mentioning to me that he's a friend in Alaska. And he has a huge cistern. A huge cistern that they use all year long, but they got to refill it. They have to continuously refill that. But the fountain spoken of in our text is a fountain that springs from the source. It's a fountain of living waters, as opposed to hewed out cisterns by man's works, which are nothing but broken cisterns. Broken cisterns. So we have here in our text Christ, who is the fountain of living waters. And then we have the hewed out cisterns which the Israelites fashioned by their own hands. They fashioned them by their own, by their works. And beloved, they were nothing but broken cisterns which could hold no water. And a broken cistern pictures man trying to justify himself by his own works. By his own works. Broken cisterns. So we have here before us a verse that speaks of Christ, who is the fountain of living waters. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters. It is in Him that we have salvation. And again, the broken cisterns speak of man trying to gain salvation in our natural state by our own works, hewing out cisterns by our hands, broken cisterns again which could hold no water. Now man comes into this world, right? Naturally wired for works. It's in our dead nature to think that we can gain merit and favor with God by our works. But we can't. We can't. Those works are like broken cisterns. They won't hold water. You fill them up by the works, and they're dry. The water's gone. And people just keep trying to fill them up. But if I only do this, if I only do that, surely God will accept me. If, you know, I'm a good person. Broken cisterns, beloved. Hewed out cisterns that are broken and can hold no water at all. And salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ alone. He is the fountain of living waters. It's only in Him. And look at our text, too. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, God speaking, the fountain of living waters. So the Israelites had forsaken God, and they turned to their own ways, and they turned to false gods, which is exactly what we do in our natural state. I was there, trying to please God by my works when I thought about them, and not caring most of the time. Not caring at all. But still thinking that surely, and I even talked to someone this week and I asked them, I said, well, what's your grounds for you supposedly entering heaven if you believe that all these different people are saved? Well, surely God will accept me because I'm a good person. I said, but there's none good. And he said, this person went on to say about how Well, then they didn't want to be in heaven. Well, yeah, that's usually the way. Those who want to, God's people, we are made willing to flee to Christ, right? And we are shown that our good works are nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. This person has not had Christ revealed to him. And we looked at that sign. And I said to I pointed to the sign outside. And he thought that, well, what about the Muslims? And what about the Buddhists? And what about all these other people? I said, they're all going to hell. Because Christ said, I'm the way. I'm the way. It's only through Him. Only through Him. There's no other way. Everything else is broken cisterns, beloved. Hewed out cisterns. Oh, we fell in Adam. And there's none that seek God in our natural state. None that understand Him. None who are righteous in His state. In our natural state. But our God is a holy God. Our God is a righteous God. He is the fountain of living waters. And all who will forsake those and flee to Christ shall be saved. I came out of Catholicism. I was in the darkness of Catholicism. I was thinking I was fine. I went through all these different things that Catholics go through. And I was so lost that it wasn't funny. I did not know Christ. I did not know God. But He was pleased to reveal Himself one day to me. And now I praise His mighty name. And is it so with you who believe? Oh, we have cast away the broken cisterns, haven't we? And the hewed out cisterns. Oh, so in our natural state, we hew out cisterns that are broken and can hold no water. So the first thing we're looked at is hewed and broken cisterns. Look at our text. It says, and hewed them out. Cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What a picture again we have of man trying to work his way to heaven. Man tries to work his way to heaven. They've forsaken the one true God, the one true fountain, and made themselves cisterns which were broken and hold no water. And here we see the folly of sin. The folly of sin, which is pleasurable for a season, but what does it do? It leads to death, right? For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. And how many people today are hewing out broken cisterns? How many people today? How many people that we know? My whole family is still in Catholicism, still in the darkness of that. Hewing out broken cisterns for themselves. Now I tell them about Christ and I pray that God will reveal Himself to them. I can't save them, but God can. And I pray that He will if it's His will. But how many people? How many people are trying to be justified before a holy and righteous God by their works? How many other people are just in different religions that have no care for the true fountain of life? How many? Millions, folks. Millions of folks. How many people in false religions are hewing out broken cisterns, which in the end they find will hold no water? They stand before the Lord and they say, Lord, Lord, have we not done these things in Your name? And He'll say, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh. So the Israelites had forsaken God, and we in our natural state forsake God. They had dug cisterns and hewing them out and dug pools. I read they would hew these cisterns in rock or they dig out these great pools. And then they would get water and they'd pour the water in these pools or in these rock enclaves. They'd pour the water in there and then they come back and it's all gone. It's a broken cistern. All that labor. It's a broken cistern. Oh, cisterns which could hold no water, false at the bottom. And they could hold no water. They dug the cistern so the rains could go in. Or so they could carry the water. So they could store it in there, so they could draw from it later. And it's gone. It's gone. These cisterns proved to be broken cisterns. When they came to quench their thirst, they found no water, just mud and mire and sediment. And could you imagine being out in the desert and you're just parched? And you just want a drink of water? It doesn't matter if it's cool, you just want a drink of water. You come and you see this, you had poured all that water in, and it's just mud and mire. Just mud and mire. People trying to work the way to heaven, they come and they just find mud and mire. Stand before a holy and righteous God, clothed in their own self-righteousness, and the Lord, He will only accept us in the righteousness of Christ. And that's the only difference, really, between us and them. Us and someone who's trying to hew out, because most of us were trying to hew out our own cisterns at one time. But praise God, He had mercy upon us. Now we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Acceptable before a holy and righteous God. So we see here before us man's helpless efforts to justify himself before a holy and righteous God. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. And let's look at what the Lord said to a dear saint, the lady at the well. A lady at the well. John chapter 4. Now think of this before we read this. Man tries to, they hew out their cisterns, right? They hew out their cisterns of, well, I belong to the proper church, right? Or I've been baptized, now I'm saved. So they believe in baptismal regeneration. Or they hew out all these different cisterns. They hew out the cisterns of do's and don'ts, right? Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that. And they hew all these things out, thinking that they're going to gain merit and favor with God. And they find out that these cisterns are just broken. Oh, the cistern of morality. And man is continuously hewing out cisterns which are broken, useless, trying to justify themselves before a holy and righteous God, the holy and righteous God of the universe. There is only one. Look at John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. So whosoever shall drink of the water that will be drawn from this well, right? He's thirsty. He's a man. He's thirsty. See, this proves our Lord's humanity too. He's thirsty, just like you and I get thirsty. He wants a drink. Now he's going to use the well as a metaphor. Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. And that happens, right? We go to the tap, or we get a drink of water, and we're going back in about an hour because we want some more. We're thirsty. But look at this. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Remember our text about the water, the fountain of living waters? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, here we have before us the fountain of living waters, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of this in contrast, this fountain of living waters in contrast to, if anything, if man puts hope or confidence in anything, other than Christ for the salvation of our souls, it's a broken cistern. It's a broken cistern. But Christ is the fountain of living waters. Let's go back to our text in Jeremiah. Look at this. Me, the fountain of living waters. We'll draw these words right here. In the text we see, me, the fountain of living waters. Here is great comfort for God's people. There is only one fountain. There's only one. One fountain. Only one. Only one living water. And that's Christ. And Him alone. Salvation is nowhere else. Now we can trace other religions to a man in the grave. But Christ is risen from the grave. The tomb is empty. He's God. He's God. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And think of this. God Himself redeemed His people from their sins. God Himself. God became a man and went to Calvary's cross and purchased, redeemed, ransomed His people by the shedding of His own precious blood. That's love. That's greater love than no man knows love like this. That's mercy. God Himself, the God of the universe, the God who speaks everything into existence, became a man and died on Calvary's cross. And if you're a believer, you can say with me, for my sins. For me. Left the glories and splendors of heaven. He is the fountain of living waters. And we know that God is the fountain both of natural and spiritual life, but here our text speaks of living waters. The fountain of living waters. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 36, and also put your finger in John chapter 1. This portion here where it says, me, the fountain of living waters, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fountain of life, everlasting life, eternal life, and glorious and blessed life. And it's only found in Christ. It's found nowhere else. Every one of us in this room is going to die. Every one of us. And every one of us is going to face a holy and righteous God. Either clothed in our own self-righteousness or clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, I pray God to give you faith to believe. Look at this. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. Now turn, we see a metaphor here of light. And unless God reveals that He is the fountain, we will never know this precious truth. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 1. Unless God reveals this precious truth, we will never know Him. Look at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Now, if there's ever any doubt that Christ was God, this verse proclaims it. Proclaims it. Look at this first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses will take it, say, was a God. That's not in the Greek text. No, He was God. He is God. He is God. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. In the Word, the same Word spoken of here. And the Word was made flesh. God dwelling amongst us, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, God, became flesh. God became a man. Let's go back up to our text in with the metaphor of light. The metaphor of unless God reveals that He is the fountain, we will never know this precious truth. Look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That tied in with our Sunday school lesson. He's the Creator. He's above all things. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Didn't have a clue who he was. You ever hear religious people say, what do they always say? They always say, oh, we want people to see Jesus in you. They didn't even see Jesus himself when he was a man. They didn't know who he was. The darkness didn't comprehend the light. But if he reveals himself to you, and this is our prayer, oh, that God would reveal himself. Oh, you'll see him for who he is and what he is. God, the true fountain, the true fountain, the fountain of living waters. Now the ungodly do not acknowledge that it is God who is the fountain of life. Back in our text, it says, me, the fountain of living waters. The ungodly do not acknowledge that it is God who is the fountain of life. They rather imagine that they are sustained by their own power or by their own strength. I know I was there. Not even heaven. You know, like I said, calling out to God when I was in trouble, but not knowing who he was. And thinking it was all my doing, you know. Oh my. What darkness we were in before the Lord saved us. And contrary to the ungodly, David here affirms in our psalm, for with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. He affirms that from the experience of God's sheep and God revealing to His saints by His Holy Spirit, we come to know that God in Christ is the fountain of life. He must reveal it to us, though, eh? He must. The darkness doesn't comprehend the light. But oh, when He reveals Himself, when He manifests Himself to the saints of God, to the saints of God. We've been studying Colossians. We've been studying Colossians and Wednesday nights. Let's turn there real quick. Colossians chapter 1. And look at this marvelous verse. Ties right into this. Verse 26 of chapter 1. Even the mystery. The mystery is the gospel, which is all about Christ. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, Colossians 1:26, and then think of this too. Now this just, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, think of all those countries, think of all those people before the Lord came. All those generations, the Medes, the Persians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the African nations who perished in their sin. Before the Lord came. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is what? Made manifest. Do you see? It's not Jesus has done all he can do, now the rest is up to you. God manifests himself to his people. He reveals himself to his people. And our hope is that he would reveal himself to you. Oh, that he give you eyes to see Christ and ears to hear the gospel, and that you would run and flee to the Savior. And if you're saved, he's manifested himself to you. There were many ages and generations that he didn't do this for, but he manifested himself to you who believe. Mercy. Now we know why Paul said, I've obtained mercy. And it ain't by anything he's done. It's all in Christ. I obtained mercy. Oh, he manifested himself to me. Oh, there's not a drop of life to be found without Christ, or which flows not from him. And look in Colossians, let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, if you're already there. Look at this. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He has all power. He's absolutely supreme. And think of this. Now let's tie this back into Jeremiah 2:13, where he says, "Me, the fountain of living waters." If he has all power, and he is the only fountain of living waters, then there's no life outside of him. None. None. Turn, if you would, to Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13, speaking of this fountain, this wonderful, wonderful fountain. Zechariah 13. And keep in mind, me, the fountain of living waters. Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day, oh, what a day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, in that day, a fountain opened. The Lord Jesus Christ dying for his people on Calvary's tree for sin and for uncleanness. Guilty sinners washed clean in the fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. All of them, beloved. All of them. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What mercy. Mercy. What grace. What grace. The elect receive in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text calls the fountain a fountain of living waters. Look, it says the fountain of living waters. So our third point is living waters. Second point was the true fountain. The third point is living waters. And this speaks of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of Him. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 7. The pardon we receive, beloved, the pardon that the believer receives in Christ Jesus our Lord is a full pardon. A pardon for every sin that we've ever committed and ever will commit. Now, as I say, that doesn't give us a license to go crazy because that's antinomianism and we don't believe in that. But salvation is a full salvation. It's a full pardon, beloved. A full pardon. Look at John 7, verse 37 and 39. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst..." Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Oh, that God would make you thirsty for the things of Christ. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures say, has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So I ask you, are you thirsty spiritually? Are you thirsty spiritually? Oh, that God would make you thirsty. Has God revealed to you your spiritual bankruptcy? We who believe are bankrupt sinners. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Oh. Oh, that God, the Holy Spirit, would make you thirsty for the things of Christ. That He'd make you willing in the day of His power to flee to Christ, who is the refuge. He's the believer's only refuge. He's the believer's only refuge. You and I all have eternal souls. And the refuge of the believer's eternal soul is Christ. In Him alone. In Christ is all fullness. In Christ is a full pardon. A full pardon. In Christ is a full redemption. In Christ is a full justification before God, before the holy and righteous God of the universe. In Christ is a full salvation from all of our sins, and it was purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a pardon. Living waters, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters. He is where we are refreshed. He is where we are comforted as we travel through this world of woe. And it is a world of woe. It is. We saw things erupt in our society, and it's all sin. It's just sin. The problem is sin. We live in a world of sinners. We live in a world of sinners. We desperately need Christ. Desperately. Turn again, if you would, to John chapter 4. We're going to journey through this a little bit to close. And keep in mind the broken cisterns and the hewed out cisterns of man's works, right? Let's look at John chapter 4. And we'll see a seeking Savior, God seeks out His sheep, and a needy sinner. A seeking Savior and a needy sinner. Look at John 4, 3 and 4. And He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. Now there's an interesting little statement. There's a whole message right there. He must needs. Why must He needs go through Samaria? Because there's not just one sheep over there. There's a whole bunch of them over there. There's a whole bunch of them over there. And He must go. He has sheep there. Then came He to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now there again is a picture right there. He's weary. There's a picture of our Lord's humanity. He's fully man. He's thirsty and He's weary. He's God in the flesh. But He's thirsty in His humanity and He's weary. And here's a well where the local people came. They came to draw water from, right? Came to draw water. Look at verses 7 to 9. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now she just coming to draw water. She doesn't know she has a divine appointment with God. She has no clue. But there, she has a divine appointment, beloved. She has a divine appointment. Oh my. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Again, shows His humanity. He's thirsty. He's thirsty. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Well, He needs to eat too, eh? Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now the Jews hated, or the Jews and Samaritans, they hated each other. But here's our great King. And this is one of His lost sheep. Right here before Him. And here our Lord will reveal to the Samaritan woman that He is the true fountain of living waters. The one spoken of in Jeremiah. And note again that she had no clue. No clue. She just thought He was a Jewish man. She had no clue that He was God in the flesh. No clue. No clue that she had a divine appointment. She didn't even know she was one of the Lord's sheep. That's very familiar for those of us who've been saved, isn't it? We had no clue, did we? No clue. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him and He would have given thee living water. Remember, He's the fountain of living waters. She did not know, again, she did not know, but the Lord's going to reveal who He is to her a few verses down. Look at verse 11 and 12. The woman saith unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, And the well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water, or that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Oh, yeah, he is. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. She doesn't know who she's talking to. She has no idea. No idea who he is. And he is greater than their father Jacob. But she just does not know it yet. Look at verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, and remember, a seeking Savior and a needy sinner. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now we tie this in with Jeremiah where God proclaims that he is the fountain of living waters. And this is God incarnate in the flesh right before this lady, right before this woman, Samaria. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And let's look a little further down. Let's look at verses 21 and further down. Here we see the Lord reveal to her that he is the Messiah. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now look at this. The woman saith unto them, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Okay, so she knows that Messiah is coming. Here we go. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh my. God incarnate in the flesh. The Messiah is right before your eyes. Now, right before us in this text, you remember in Colossians? Remember the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints? He just made it manifest. He just manifested himself to her. And let's look further down. We see something remarkable. Look at verses 28 and 29. This lady is so enamored with Christ that she left her water pot. She left her water pot. And she went her way into the city. Then the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Remember I told you before, but folks get all wound up tight about witnessing. What's witnessing? Come and see. Man, Christ Jesus, who's done everything for me. He's redeemed me from all my sins. He purchased me by his own precious blood. He did it all. Witnesses and just telling the great things that God had done for us. She left her water pot. No sooner had she tasted of the living water spoken by Christ, she left her water pot. And Peter tells our Savior that they had left all and followed him. When God saves a sinner, they leave the hewed and broken cisterns and they leave their water pots of their works and they flee to Christ. They flee to Christ in him alone. He is our hope. And then what do? We do the same as this woman. We tell the great things that God had done for us. God manifested himself to his people. And what all we can do is praise God for the wonderful salvation we have. That's all we can do. We can just praise Him and give Him thanks. Give Him thanks and praise. He's the only way. Christ is the only true fountain. The only true fountain. He's the living waters. There's life nowhere else. Nowhere else. If you're trusting in your own works, if you're trusting in another God, if you're trusting in another religion, you're trusting in a broken cistern. You're hewing out your own cistern. It'll hold no water. But Christ is the fountain of life. He's the fountain of living waters. And life, eternal life, is found in Him. He's the only one who can redeem us from all our sins. The only one. May God make you willing to flee to Christ.